We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings.
Howard Simon.
Nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing?
Jeremy White.
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders. I don't order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious.
On WGR.
We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, it is Bills Football Monday.
I got some takeout, some wings.
Yeah, we did pizza and wings yesterday, and I had soda since we were talking about it on Friday.
You're in the mood, huh?
Yeah, I just needed it. I needed it to go. That's okay. I went diet. But I needed it to go with the pizza and wings last night. So I enjoyed them thoroughly. No leftovers, unfortunately. Hey, we're going to get to Aaron Williams here in a second. And then I want to ask you about that Bills-Denver game. Because I keep looking at that schedule of the five. Well, one game you can throw out in terms of what games they could move to Saturday. And the idea of maybe the Bills playing four straight night games. So I'll get to that in a second. But, and phone lines are open. You can join us. How are you feeling about the Bills coming out of the bye week now? If everything you saw yesterday, the division race, the Miami game, we've been talking about Tua and Fitz and everything else. 803-0550 if you got a question, a comment, or an opinion to share with us. However, joining us on the Wester Hotline right now is former Buffalo Bill Aaron Williams, who you can listen to in a podcast he has called Believe in the Bills on the BLEAV, by the way, Believe Podcast Network. And Aaron's with us right now. Aaron, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Football Monday to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good. How did you spend your bye week as far as a Bills person, Aaron, hanging out watching all the other games all day?
Yeah, I got a chance to just check out some of the games and give our guys a little bit of break. And yeah, it's been a while since I've seen other teams just because I focus more on our guys. Sure. More than usual. So, yeah, it was good to see other teams get after it.
Well, when you played, what did you do the same thing? Was your bye week, were you basically a fan when the Bills were on their bye and you would just sit, kick back, and watch all the other games?
Oh, no. I'm chilling with family. I'm staying with people that I haven't got really a chance to hang out with during the season just because I'm so busy.
Yeah.
And I'm away with family. So I don't really – when I was playing, I didn't really watch any games on our bye week. I spent that quality time with just family and friends.
Nice. Well, before we get into the Bills, did you catch any of the Miami game yesterday? And either way, what are your thoughts on the whole Tua Ryan Fitzpatrick thing?
It's very unfortunate. I thought, well, you know, it's a little different for me personally, just because I know Fitzy really well, and you know, to me, in the beginning of the year, I thought he controlled the team really well. I thought he was managing the team, managing the game very well, and putting his team in great positions to win. So, for him to get replaced by Tua, I mean, it's kind of like a business decision. They kind of want their first round and get his toes wet a little bit, and the fact that he's in game, I mean, it didn't really help his case to help him get back on the field. So, I mean, it's this very unfortunate case, but it stuff like that happens all the time in the league, especially at a quarterback position, and especially when you're invested in a guy that you just drafted first round and expect to carry your team on through the rest of you know, down the year. So very unfortunate, but Tua's holding his own. I mean, he's doing a great job. What is that? I think he's like 3-0 now.
3-1.
So.
Well,
3-1.
I guess he gets. Does he get credit for the loss? I guess he would.
Yes,
3-1.
He does.
Okay, so 3-1. I mean, that's still a great start to a rookie 3-1 as a starter. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Fitzy gets his opportunity to get back on the field. But either way, man, unfortunately, they have to go down when we play them. So it doesn't really matter who's quarterback, to be honest.
New England is now 4-6 after their loss yesterday. Now, I don't know if you would have said if you felt New England was dead and buried before the game. If not, at 4-6, do you now write them off as far as any kind of chance at the playoffs this year?
No, you don't write them off. You still got they still got a lot of games left. But yeah, man, it's just unfortunate that, you know, I was kind of rooting for Cam just because of his story and that, you know, he was kind of written off of just being done and doesn't really have anymore. He's just struggling right now for whatever the case may be. Maybe if it's the Belichick system or maybe it's just not for him. But yeah, they're struggling, but I would never count Belichick and the Patriots out. I mean, Coach Belichick is still a great coach and they still got great players. Just right now they're just going through a rough patch. They're not used to being in this situation. So it's It's going to be surprising to see how they react for the rest of the games.
Aaron, where do you think the Bills fit? If you look at the big picture, I mean, the standings will show Pittsburgh's 1, KC's 2, the Bills are the 3 seed right now. But if you look at the AFC overall, where do you think they fit? Do you see them competing with Kansas City, Pittsburgh, or are they in a next tier with and maybe the top of the next tier? How do they fit in?
They're definitely top 3, and if we're top 3 in the AFC, we're completely fine with that. Do we love to win the division? Of course, absolutely. Those guys are doing a great job, working hard, and really dialing in each and every week. Are we at the Kansas City level right now? I would say not right now. We're not there yet. I feel like we still slip up opportunities for us to win games. I feel like we do need to – for example, the Arizona game, we just need to finish strong. I mean, unfortunately, it was a phenomenal catch by D-Hop. But games like that can happen. Those are games we kind of need to finish out and finish strong and win games like that are important to us. They're going to carry us on to the playoffs. So I say we're at least top 3 right now. We're not at the Kansas City level. I think Kansas City finishes better. And even if they're down, I feel like they have a better understanding of team chemistry and just – overall team phases of the game. So we're top 3. We're almost there, but we're not quite there yet.
The end of the Arizona game, looking at it from your perspective as a former defensive back, a corner and a safety, could the Bills have played it any differently, done anything differently from a defensive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say just because anybody can say, oh, you know, I could have done a better job in that type of situation. Looking back on that play, I just didn't understand how there wasn't anybody behind D-Hop at the point. If we needed a defender to be behind D-Hop, in front of D-Hop, and then on the side, I remember seeing Jordan Poyer go in, and he just kind of went in blind. I'm not sure what he was kind of doing, but we didn't have any back protection. We needed somebody to kind of be behind D-Hop to kind of swat it down and not try to catch an interception at the end of the game. So it's just a little situation like that we need to be just a little bit more smarter.
Aaron, clearly the story of the Bills season has been Josh Allen and the passing offense. So let's start with him because he's having such a tremendous year. What are some of the things that have impressed you the most about Josh this season to this point?
He's being a lot smarter. He's being a lot smarter with the ball. And he's giving his receivers opportunities to make plays. I mean, him and Diggs and Cole, I mean, come on. Those guys are doing phenomenal work, and we love those one-on-one matchups with anybody in the league, DB receiver-wise. And he's just managing the game better. I feel like in the stat-wise, isn't it true that he's thrown more touchdown passes this year so far than he has last year? So that stat itself tells you that his game is really improving, not only as an individual, but as a leader itself.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think there's he's productive, of course, but he just has felt, and I think we began to see this last year, the whole comfortable in his own shoes thing and the trust they've put in him in terms of what they're letting him do offensively. There's no question. This is a pass-first football team, and it looks like he, in year three, is handling all of that with relative, I shouldn't say relative ease. That makes it sound too easy. You know what I'm saying? But he looks very comfortable in that job now.
And it's also good that coach didn't really change Josh Allen's game. I know a lot last year that he ran a lot more, but I just feel like the more experience, like you said, it is his third year, and now that he has a lot more experience under his belt, I feel like he's a lot more comfortable being in that pocket a little bit more. I feel like last year he bailed out of pocket a lot earlier than expected, but, I mean, when you can use your feet like that, I don't really blame him, but you're just even more dangerous when you can not only stay in the pocket and be more accurate with your throws, but also use your legs when you're in a dangerous situation and you need to bail out. So it's good that they're allowing Josh to just be out there freely and just play, just have fun, and not put a lot of pressure on him doing this and that and expecting way more than what they're asking him to do.
We're with Aaron Williams, former Bill, with us here on the Westerner Hotline. I did want to ask you about Diggs. You know, last year you could see the acquisitions of both John Brown and Cole Beasley turned out to be very good pickups, and they were helping in that whole developing Josh Allen and the transition to this offense to throwing the ball. And then they bring in Diggs. Again, from your perspective, as a guy who played defensive back in the league, what are the biggest challenges that Diggs presents in terms of trying to cover him?
Diggs is Chris route running is phenomenal. If you just take a second and just watch him with his one-on-one matchups, I mean, his route running is just so smooth. It's not sporadic. It's very on point. And then not only that, you just have other playmakers around you like Cole Beasley and John Brown. So when you have multiple threats, it gives the quarterback more opportunities to make big plays. And if not that, create big plays just like Josh has. I feel like Josh does a great job of not only just going through with the plays, but creating plays when plays aren't there. And I think that's what makes Josh so special.
But with Diggs too, right, Aaron, in addition to getting open, and you think about, you know, what he did on the last play in Arizona, well, the Bills' last possession in Arizona when he beat Patrick Peterson, but also a guy that, you know, is very steady in terms of hands, but even when he's covered, right, has the ability. Don't they talk about guys being open when they're not open? Has the ability to win all of those jump balls for you, right?
Absolutely. He's a jump ball king. When you give the opportunity for your receivers, even when he doesn't look like he's open, just to throw it up and just say, man, I trust you to go get that ball, that's the type of chemistry Diggs and Josh have, I feel like, at this point. Even though they are doing a lot of, like, over routes and creating a lot of space for each other, even with all that being said, Diggs is still creating just off of his route running itself. So for having him have a playmaker like that, and not only that, but for a guy to have experience the way he has, and he's been in situations where he's been in much needed game, big time plays in games as well. So it's on his resume. So it's not like he needs to be proved anything. He just needs to continue to play the way he's been playing.
Aaron, before we let you go, want to get your assessment on the defense, which has been kind of an interesting story this season. You know, we know it's not last year's group in terms of its ability. There have been some key injuries, you know, Milano going down. They've been really nicked up at cornerback or injuries and or COVID situations. The pass rush was seemingly an issue earlier. Now they're getting sacks. The run defense has had some good games and some really bad games. Overall, can you give us your assessment of what you think of the defense 10 games in?
I'm going to give them a B-. I just feel like we could do a little bit better job in the run game. I just feel like even though Milano has been out, we have to do a little bit better job of protecting that run game, because if that run game is just – if we're getting splattered on through that run game, that just sets us up for that pass game to be taken advantage of. So I feel like our pass game is not too bad. Poyer, Hyde, White, and all those extra guys that come in and out, I feel like they hold their own. But at the same time, there are times where I feel like defense need to make a little bit more plays as far as hitting the ball to our offense a little bit better. But other than that, I'm very satisfied with our guys. I just feel like they need to finish a little bit stronger. And when we're up, we need to figure out a way to stay up and not give that lead away and be in a situation like we were for Arizona. So I say just right now, B-.
All right, so listen, you have a podcast. You mentioned earlier you have your Believe in Bills podcast. Why don't you get a little plug for that?
Yeah, man, come check us out, Believe Podcast. You can check it out on my Twitter. I always post whenever we upload a new episode. My Twitter handle is AJWilliams23. Also, it will be on my Instagram, AJWilliams23 as well. So we talk about the Bills. We talk about my experiences. We answer y'all's questions whenever, whatever questions you want to be answered. We give a little preview for the next week's game. So, you know, just come and tune in. I give a little insight of how we should win and what it's going to take for the Bills to get a victory and all that great stuff. So it'd be cool to check out.
Hey, Sunday, what's it going to take is trying to keep Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen from having a field day, right?
Yeah, you know what? Justin Herbert has actually surprised me. Man, that rookie has been playing balls to the wall, man. And it's just another good game for our defense to put another test out there and not let, you know, a rookie quarterback, you know, go out and been playing the way he's been playing. I think, you know, it's our time to go out there and show, you know, our defense is strong, and that's what they need to prove this week.
Well, listen, enjoy the rest of the season. Thanks for coming on with us today. Always nice to hear from you. And however it is done this year, have a great Thanksgiving with your family.
Guys, it's always a pleasure being on. I appreciate you guys, you know, just having me. I'm looking forward to our guys winning next week and looking forward to the rest of the season.
Me too. All right. Hey, Aaron, thanks very much, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Take care. Aaron Williams, former Bills defensive back, joining us on the Wester Hotline. And we are talking Bills football with you at 803-0550, 888-550-2550, the division race, the games yesterday, and how you're feeling about the Bills coming out of the bye week. And we'll, of course, be talking more about that as the week goes on and we get you ready for the Chargers game. So I had a question for you on the Saturday game. Sal was on with us earlier. We were pointing out the Bills play this Sunday at 1. And then it's primetime heaven. The Monday night game in San Francisco, Sunday night game against Pittsburgh. You skip a game and then you have the Monday night game against New England, but it's possible the Bills could play Denver in primetime. So you could have four straight night games. So let me ask you this. Let me explain that first. There are five games that are up for consideration for that Saturday, December 20th, okay? Stop me if I'm wrong. I'm going to take Jets-Chargers out of the mix for the Saturday game. So so the other games would be Bills-Broncos, of course, Bills at Denver, Carolina at Green Bay, Detroit at Tennessee, Houston at Indy, and then Jets-Chargers. Three of those games are going to be played on Saturday. I still think the Bills-Denver game
is one of them.
It's I think it is the best game on the schedule. Now, I'm a little partial. I think for sure that's got to be a Saturday game. I don't think they're playing Jets-Chargers.
I'd bet Houston goes there too. Any game with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if you wanted to say that was the best game because of Deshaun Watson against a winning Colts team, I wouldn't argue. But I think that's a Saturday game for sure. Absolutely. Which would leave Bills, Broncos, Carolina, Green Bay, Detroit, Tennessee. I think the Bills are playing on Saturday. It's in Denver, so it wouldn't be a 1 o'clock game. Right, so it means they would be either the 4:30 game or what is it, 8:15 or 8:30, whatever the night game is. But I think they're going to play in one of those two later Saturday games. It's just a question of whether it's a night game or the 4:30 start in Denver. Right, I don't think they're going to Sunday. I think they're playing Saturday.
One thing I noticed watching Denver and Miami yesterday, you know, you were watching through Red Zone. Every game in Denver looks like perfect football weather. It's always really sunny. Looks crisp.
Except the occasional snow October game.
But even when it snows,
yeah,
it feels like Denver games, they're not always crazy windy. Sometimes they're cold, but you know, Denver's a sunny city, so it's always looks like these crisp fall afternoon games that are so perfect.
And, you don't see the sideways rain game in Denver.
No, you don't get a lot of that in Denver. Maybe.
I think if it's Denver, you would say, right, it seems like there's the occasional October snow game that they have.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Cleveland, which has had the worst weather in the league this year by a lot.
And they've actually had fans at their games, too, because it was the Eagles game. Let's see. They had a Raiders game, I think, where it was really windy. And there would have been, I don't know if it was the Raiders game or not, Jeremy, they had another game where there was like a massive thunderstorm right at kickoff where they had to delay the game and clear the teams off the field. So their last three home games have been lousy in terms of weather. How would you feel about four straight night games for the Bills if that Denver game was moved into the 8:30 slot?
I don't think it'll be. I mean, I'd prefer a 4 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, 4:30
instead.
Yeah. Which is where the Bills-Patriots game was last year when they moved it into the Saturday schedule.
Yep. And, I mean, that ends up looking like prime time because it'll be dark out. So that's good.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at the Chargers. You know, we're talking with Justin Herbert, and we will a lot this week. He has an outside look at their best passing season ever. He's already
like
got 20.
Dan Fouts played for the Chargers. Like,
right, right.
Wow.
They've got 7 games left, right? The Chargers do? 6 games left.
6 games left, yes. They're 3-7.
6 games left. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, like I said, it's an outside shot. Justin Herbert's season right now is 39th in Chargers history. He's got 2,700 yards. He needs about 2,100 in the next 6 games to do it.
Which
is,
what, 350
a game?
So that's right, 6, not 7 games. You're right, a little bit over 300
6.
A game. Yeah.
He is probably going to set their franchise record for touchdown passes in a season. That's held by Phillip Rivers at 34. I mean, if he stays healthy...
Yeah, he's been.
He's already at 22.
Yeah, because so he's averaging over a little over two touchdown passes.
Can he get 13 touchdown passes in 6 games?
He could. Yeah, if he stays on his season average.
Either way, you know, you look at the Chargers' top passing seasons of all time, and it's just Rivers, Fouts, Rivers, 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 Fouts, Fouts, Rivers, 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 and there is about to be the one guy up there. Like, oh, look at this rookie.
Yeah,
pretty good.
It's funny. I think I guess if you could ever. If you could ever make a case that a fan base is excited for a 3-7 team or in a season where the team is 3-7, they've got to be tickled pink watching Justin Herbert play. I'm sure Bengals fans were feeling really good about watching Joe Burrow play until yesterday when he was knocked out with the probable ACL. But I think, look, and you look at their defense. I mean, I don't we got a Chargers guest coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Randy Cardoon's going to join us from LA. Cuz you look at Bosa and Ingram and you say, "Okay, they've got stud edge rushers. I know Derwin James being injured was a big problem for their secondary. I didn't think their defense would be bad, but they're blowing leads all the time." But you love Herbert, right? He's good. They got a decent group of running backs for whatever it's worth. They've got a really good talented tight end. They've got Keenan freaking Allen and Mike Williams. They've got two really good top receivers to put around their young quarterback. So there's some really good components on the offensive side of the ball for the Chargers. And if they could ever hold on to a lead, they wouldn't be 3-7 this season. But that seems to have been the Chargers' MO even when Phillip Rivers were there. They were blowing leads in the fourth quarter. But I think, his numbers are great this year. For Sunday's game, I'm excited for this matchup because we always talk about want to see the really talented young quarterbacks and see how you fare against them and all that stuff. I can't wait to see this kid play. I've never seen a full Chargers game with him. And I think this is a really big challenge for the Bills secondary in terms of dealing with him and dealing with Keenan Allen, who just tore the Jets' beleaguered secondary apart yesterday. The Bills are going to need to score points again on Sunday. I think LA provides a really good offensive challenge for the Bills' defense. 8-0-3, and maybe they get Eckler back in this game. They got, it's Kalen Ballage, Joshua Kelly. They might get Eckler back, I think, off IR for this game. Maybe he's eligible to come back off IR anyway. 8-0-3-0-5-50 to join us this morning here on Bills Football Monday. Sal's going to be in at 10 o'clock with the Extra Point Show from 10 to noon, taking your calls wall to wall for 2 hours. So stay tuned for that on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I knew the defense was going to go out there and do their job, and you know they came up with some big stops. So props to those guys. And yeah, it might have gotten a little closer than we would have liked, but we had our opportunities to go down and score as well. So it's on us too. Winning games in the NFL is tough to come by. So we'll take any win that we can get, because each week, week in, week out, you got teams beating each other, and any win you can grab is huge for us.
That is Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers. And we're going to talk about the Chargers in a moment. You know, you look at their record and say, okay, they're 3-7. But Herbert has done a fantastic job with them. They are putting up points. He's had really one stinker, the game against Miami, but 34 in the win yesterday. They put up 26 in a loss to the Raiders, 30 in a loss to the Broncos, 39 when they beat the Jags. They put up 27 on the Saints and lost by 3. They put up 31 in Tampa and lost by 7. So he and the offense are more than doing their fair share. But the defense and blowing leads have been a problem for the Chargers, who will be here Sunday at 1 o'clock. And joining us on the Wester Hotline from Los Angeles, Randy Cardoon of KNX Radio is with us here. Of course, Chargers won yesterday. They beat the Jets 34-28. Randy, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So 3-7, we were just saying, you know, normally you wouldn't probably be really excited about a 3-7 season, but I'm going to guess fans have to be really pumped about what they've seen from Justin Herbert this year.
You know, I've got to say, I think the Chargers, they're the best 3-7 team in the NFL right now. I'm telling you, trust me when I say these words. Certainly these guys have had all sorts of trouble closing. We all know how that situation has worked out. So it's a question of what happens next. Injuries, really questionable plays toward the end. They've been struggling to get things done toward the end because all of a sudden they come in with last night or yesterday, for example, twice they had 18-point leads. They entered the fourth quarter. They had a lead. The question was, could they hold it? And even the team with no wins in the league this year, the Jets, made it interesting when they really shouldn't have.
I have a lot of stuff I want to ask you about with Herbert, but I'll just skip ahead in my list of questions. So what, generally speaking, could you give us a little bit of an idea of what are the issues with the defense and blowing leads all the time? Although I know it predates the 2020 Chargers, but what's the problem this year?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things you could say. I mean, in a way, it's typical. They've had some key injuries to certain situations. They're young in some positions, and when you're young and you're trying to come up and put together some performances, it isn't working, and they make mistakes. Yesterday, they had that blocked punt later, which, of course, you can, I guess, give a backhanded compliment to the Jets and say, okay, they did a good defensive play there. But we've seen this too many times toward the end. The special teams are making mistakes. The Chargers, as I said, granted, Justin Herbert is blowing the doors off of all sorts of rookie quarterback records, but key players are not making catches. There was a time when even some of the guys who you normally see as players doing well, they were just struggling. And so you thought, okay, well, Keenan Allen dropping a few balls, that's a little weird. But then again, he comes in with a performance like he had yesterday, 16 catches, which, of course, ties or breaks a record for the Chargers as a franchise. It's inconsistency, I think, is really the big thing. And usually teams work that out over the games of the season. But as we all know, this is the weirdest season that anybody has gone through, whether it be football, baseball, or what. So, again, the Chargers just need to put in a solid performance.
With Herbert, 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 picks. What are some of the aspects that have really stood out since he has had such a strong rookie year? What is it?
Well, I think he's so accurate. He comes in so mature in a sense that he really doesn't get rattled by a lot of things rookie quarterbacks would do. And the fact that he came in and under the situation he came in when the Chargers really had to struggle, Tyrod Taylor was supposed to be the starter, even though everybody figured Justin Herbert would come in eventually. Herbert got 5 minutes, if that, warning before he had to come in a game against the Chiefs earlier this year. And that's because the whole Tyrod Taylor shot in the lung thing. And the fact that Herbert just didn't blink. He just went, okay. And he walked in and he did the job and he was so accurate and the receivers were really cued into him. It's amazing that it happened so fast. I mean, we all saw out in these parts how Jared Goff started off the season with 7 straight losses as in his first year with the Rams when they decided to throw him in there. Well, Justin Herbert, not exactly the same situation, but Herbert has delivered. So the Chargers are thrilled about what's going to be happening in the future. The question of whether it's going to be together outside of Justin Herbert for the game in your neck of the woods, that's a big question.
He's throwing a lot, too. I was wondering in terms of, you know, are they letting them do everything? Sometimes we, you know, a young quarterback comes in, and sometimes it could be, well, they're going to manage the game. I mean, the Dolphins weren't asking Tua Tagovailoa to throw 35, 40 times a game. The Bengals were, and it looks, I mean, what is LA doing with Herbert? Have they given him full rein on the offense, letting him be aggressive, throw the ball, and seeing what he can do with it?
I think it's been a gradual process. I think in the beginning, when they just threw him out there, they gave him some basic plays, and you almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you go out there, and you see what else he could do under the situation, and he is more and more gradually being given the a wider playbook, have a chance to study it a little more. You can see in some of the routes that the guys are running that they're able to really – connect in this situation, as opposed to they're used to him by now. That's the thing. And I think for a while there, it was a lot of rust in the sense that Herbert did not practice with the A team. So now he's had plenty of time for that. The team offensively is doing well, obviously, but the defense is not shutting down the opponents the way they should. And as you well know, the Buffalo Bills are a lot different breed of animal than the New York Jets are this season. So, again, the Chargers' defense is really going to be put to the test.
You know, on their defense, Randy Cardoon with us, KNX Radio in Los Angeles. Like, you think of the Chargers' defense, I think the first two guys you would think of would be Bosa and Ingram. And I'm just looking at the stats. And I know Ingram was I think, what, hurt back in camp, and maybe he was going through some contract issues. He's got half a sack. What's happened?
Well, and Bosa, too. Bosa hasn't exactly been the Joey Bosa they were expecting from last year, but Bosa got hit with some things as well. He's been recovering from some issues. The team has been hit by a little bit of a COVID thing. And again, I say a little bit compared to some teams where a lot of guys have been hit. But again, the Chargers' defense has not been able to get through and play the kind of game that we're used to seeing them play. They've had some injuries, as you mentioned, and now it's like guys in the backfield, that the secondary, that are certainly guys we got to keep an eye on. Obviously, Casey Hayward has been in one of those situations. We've also seen some of the younger guys like Rashawn Jenkins and Nasir Adderley. These are guys Denzel Perryman's got to play up to his form, and these are guys Linval Joseph. These are guys that really have to come together and pick up a big defensive play, especially against a team like Buffalo that is certainly a lot more proficient at offense than we've seen teams recently facing the Chargers.
So that I asked you that because I would have thought if there's anything from the Bills' perspective, if you look at LA and say what is there to be worried about, you'd worry about the edge rushers. Is there something you think the defense has done well?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it's not what they've done well. I think it's that they've done consistently, and that's what the big key to the Chargers has been as far as defensive lapses. They have not played consistently. They have not put together certain stops when they had to. They've made little mistakes that on some teams you could kind of look over, but on a team that hasn't gotten rid of the mistakes from earlier this year, they're going to become a factor, especially in the third and fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. You always wonder whether or not the teams are going to be tired enough either. I mean, what's the question of a team that just runs out of gas toward the fourth quarter? Is it they're making silly mistakes? Is it a situation where they're not in good shape? Chargers appear to be in pretty good shape, but that could be an issue as well. Again, it's consistency that's really hurting the Chargers, and they've got to put that consistent performance level on the field every Sunday or whatever, Thursday or Saturday, but they've got to put it on the field every weekend, and the Chargers have been really sporadic at that.
Final thing for you, and you mentioned, you brought up special teams earlier, Randy, and I said, you know, they had a block punt for the second straight week. From what I've been reading, like, special teams has been really problematic all season. What are some of the issues they're having there?
Well, just, again, making little mistakes, making situations bigger than they should be. You're trying to hold a team down. Michael Badgley has had his problems kicking once again, although recently it hasn't been all that bad. Again, everybody, and I could start naming names, but really sporadically, excuse me, I could mention names all over, but it's really not one guy. It's really the special teams as a whole, the defense as a whole, trying to make those consistent performances that really can shut down an opposing team. And that's where the Bills, I would imagine, will be able to put together a really good performance, because the defenses, and it's just the little mistakes that are causing problems with the Chargers, and they need to nip that in the bud.
Randy, thanks for coming on with us again. I know it's early out there, and you're busy working too. You're pulling your shift. So thanks for sparing some time for us this morning.
All right, guys. Good luck.
Thank you. Randy Cardoon with us on the Western Hotline, joining us from Los Angeles, KNX Radio. And their top 10, I mean, if you look at this week's NFL stats are out. The rankings just came out this morning. Third in total yards. They're top 10 in first downs per game and third down efficiency and passing yards per game. They're third. So they're in middle of the pack in terms of scoring, 15th in points per game. But their defense has had some problems, and their special teams are ranked near the bottom or at the bottom of the league in most of the categories.
So the Chargers were most recently here in 2018. And I don't remember anything about that game. I'm going to open the box score
give me
and
a
see
second
if something
while, yeah, while you're
memory.
Doing that. Let me think. Yeah, okay. Chargers here in 2018. Really? You're positive about that?
Yep.
Sal, do you remember the Chargers being here in 2018?
Josh's first start.
Yep.
Oh,
Josh
man.
Allen's first start.
Coming back
start.
Out of Baltimore.
Right. The Chargers win that game 31-20. It's 28-6 at halftime, Chargers. And Allen throws his first these are a touchdown pass against Baltimore? No, because they lost
47-3. It was 47-3?
Chargers came here as Josh's first start. I'm sure. I just put in my headphones, Jeremy. I don't know if you said that already.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Josh threw his first touchdown pass of his career in that game. Do you want to? Do you remember who he threw it to?
I'm looking at the box score, so yes. Actually, I did not remember it. But it was very late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a minute to play. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Benjamin.
Yes. Josh Allen threw forever a trivia answer. Who did Josh Allen throw his first touchdown pass to? It is Kelvin Benjamin.
It might be the only thing that Kelvin Benjamin has in terms of trivia in the Bills' history.
Well, he also scored a very big touchdown in the snow game, right? Wasn't Peterman who threw it to him in the end zone? And that was the only... Yes, that was a big one. That was a big one for the Bills. Helped them get in the playoffs that year. But
also, somewhere in that game, for some reason, Geno Smith took a rushing attempt. That's all I got.
Ha!
Allen ran 8 times for 32 yards. He passed for 245, a touchdown, and 2 picks.
Do you know what I kind of remember about that game as a sideline reporter?
Wow, I don't remember
just how much of a beast Philip Rivers is. He's just like being on the same field with him and watching him work. You're like, this guy is amazing. Like he just kind of defied it all. He's bigger than you think, even though he's not mobile or anything. He just the way he played.
And he keeps playing.
I was just so
right. Doesn't
impressed.
He still have a game played streak going?
He does.
He hasn't missed a game in 15 years or something.
No, it's amazing.
I can't remember that game at all. You mentioned Chargers to me, and I just think Nathan Peterman. I can't remember the game here at all, really.
Yeah, that's right. It was Peterman out in
there in 17,
LA,
right?
Whatever.
That was
LA,
that was the
meanwhile.
Year
how about
after.
The one the trip before that? The Chargers were also here in 2014.
Yeah. That was the first time I remember. That was my first year on the sidelines. And I remember Philip Rivers, but that one was.
What was that game?
I think the Bills lost.
They did.
They had played better than they did in that.
What year was this again? 2014.
The Chargers came out of halftime. I remember threw a long pass down the middle.
Was that a Rex
they
year?
Caught, yeah. Was
that,
no, Marone.
That was still Marone.
It's EJ.
2014 EJ against the Chargers.
Oh, that was like week 2 or something like that, right? No.
It was week 3.
Week 3.
Oh, okay.
That's
sorry.
Right.
I'm
here
sorry.
Here in Buffalo too, right?
Yes.
Is that the week before they go to Houston?
Yes.
No,
that is the week before
it's 2
Houston.
Weeks before cuz Yeah, you're right. Houston, they go 2-2.
Yeah.
They started 2-0. They lost to the Chargers. And they – yeah, in this game – okay, now I'm going to remember one individual play to make sure that Scott Chandler had a long reception, right? 37-yard reception. EJ finds him over the middle. He gets a lot of open field. Yeah. Forgettable games.
Why do I think – was Sammy playing in that game?
You would have.
Do you have the box?
Been.
I do.
I do.
Why do
box.
I think that? Did he have a big drop or something?
Yeah, two for 19.
Yeah, 2 for 19. Okay. One first down.
Maybe he was targeted. Drop a touchdown or something. Yeah. I don't know. I think for some reason Watkins is in my head for that game, and I feel like there was a maybe a drop touchdown pass or a
Fred Jackson 8 for 78 catching.
The reason I was looking at this is because the most recent Charger game I remember is the Trent one, where they beat the Chargers 23-14 in 2008. And the Chargers have been here twice since.
Oh, the power outage game.
Yep.
Bills and Chargers have an interesting history. That's one of them. You know, another one I think about sometimes, guys, is there's two of them, actually. Ryan Leaf's first ever start was against the Bills in San Diego. He beat the Bills. His first ever start. Leaf's first ever start. Bledsoe's first ever start. Huh. And Jeff George's first ever start, all against the Bills, by the way. And then the other one is, and this one just tore my heart, Flutie beating them late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually, you know what? There was a game they would have played. Jeremy, you and I, I want to say
Flutie,
it was
by
a
the way, on the
game.
Chargers, for people listening. Flutie was on the Chargers after he had gone. He had left Buffalo, and he beat the Bills late in the game. It was very early in the season, I believe.
Okay, a texter writes in, Vontae Davis retired against the Chargers.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's the game.
He did.
That's what I should remember more than anything else from that game. There was, they would have gotten.
Well, it was 28-6 or whatever, you know, so like. Because that's a good reason.
Do you have the all-time series up there, Bills Chargers, Jeremy? Or
yes. What,
there was a game, you and I, they got blown out one year. You and I were doing like a pregame show at the casino in the Falls or something like that, and they got just destroyed.
They lost like 42-7.
Yeah.
40-7. No, where is it here? 48-10, 2005.
Good
48 times. To 10. Drew Brees put up like 35 points by halftime. Yeah, it was 35-10 at halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, good memories. Now, I don't know why the heck something like that sticks in my head, and I have no recollection of a game from 2 years ago.
And the touchdowns in that game for the Bills, 48-10, they had one touchdown. All right.
2005, you scored it? You said?
2005. J.P. Lossman passed
two.
Ready? Hold on. Here's your clue.
Oh, my.
Eliminate your first 10 guesses, then eliminate your next 10 guesses.
Oh, man.
Start there.
The 21st guess, huh?
Hold on. What year?
2005, J.P. Lossman touchdown pass.
Who was
against the Drew Brees Chargers.
Who was the tight end they got from Tampa that played there for a long time?
Mark Camp. No, Mark Campbell.
How about him? It's not a tight end.
It's not a tight end. Oh, some innocuous wide receiver.
It's not a wide receiver.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a running back, then.
It's not a running back.
Wait, Jason Peters.
It's not an offensive tackle.
Ooh, it's a defensive player.
No. It's not a running back.
It's a kicker.
Fullback.
It's a fullback.
Sam Gash.
Nope.
He might not have been here.
Frank Summers?
Nope.
No. Who was the one before that? Jerome Felton.
Felton.
No, but closer.
You're close. I feel like that's very close, actually.
That's close.
Who would have been here before Felton, right?
Oh, Larry Centers.
Nope. Now you're further away.
Man.
Larry Kimbrew.
It rhymes with Felton.
Shelton. Danny Shelton.
Damon Shelton.
Wow. Whatever.
Anytime we can do...
Wasn't he a tight end / fullback? I don't even remember.
I thought he was a fullback.
I guess you're right.
I thought he was an actual fullback.
Anytime we spend time remembering fullbacks, I'm happy about it. Damon Shelton, the only touchdown, as the Bills lose 48-10.
That's good trivia. That's a quality game right there. Yeah. All right, we'll get a break in. We're getting you ready for the Extra Point Show. Call now. Get a spot. Sal's taking your phone calls wall to wall from 10 to noon. So call now and get in while the getting is good at 803-0550. So you can line up and talk to him. It is Bills Football Monday. And that, of course, is presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, the bottom of my right foot is itching. I can't get it to stop. It's driving me crazy. That's all I got for Extendo Sports.
Bottom of your right foot?
The bottom of my right foot. It's really itching. It's like right at the base of the toes there, and it's just driving me nuts. I took my sneaker off. I'm rubbing my foot on the carpet. It's just making me crazy, and I can't get it to stop.
Yeah.
What do I do?
This problem really seems to go all the way down to your soul.
It is. I think it's, yeah, it is kind of a deep-seated thing. All right, so I'm just going to go run around the hallways.
Sole.
Sole. I got it. Sole. Foot. Sole. Okay.
Yeah, the shoes have a sole.
They do have a sole. Yes, they do.
See, it's a sole. Here's what. Sorry.
They do. You're right. And, you know, you'd think these fine sneakers that I wear, because they are such high quality, top of the line sneakers.
Yeah, they don't have like anti-itch stuff in them.
Right? You would think they would come with that for the price I pay for these babies. I think I got a hole in one of them. It was getting wet the other day. I might have to break down and get another pair. What else? Oh, don't forget, football tonight. Rams and the Bucks is your Monday night matchup. Not that it has an impact on the AFC playoff picture, but it should be a good game, and you get to watch TB12, which is always delightful. We'll have the game here on WGR. And next up, the multimedia presentation of the Extra Point Show. So you can stare at Sal's face. Got to be honest with you. Look a little scruffy today, Cacho.
Yeah, I did.
You got some stuff going there.
Huh? Yeah, I did some TV stuff over the weekend or vacation, whatever, break. But so I try to time it.
It's bi-week
for
growth.
So this isn't like, this is web streaming, so I think it's okay. I didn't need to.
You got some shadow.
I do.
You got some bi-week growth going there.
We're ready.
I like the gray, though. The gray and the bottom.
I've been trying to think. I've been debating getting rid of that, and I'm like, no, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
All right, phone lines are open. Fill them up. 803-0550. Sal, of course. Your phone calls.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get into the top of the show with everybody today, because we're going to take everybody kind of in the way back machine a little bit. We're going to go way back to when Howard was still old, but way back. But no, we're going to go to the way back machine, and then we're going to bring it back forward. And I don't really want to give it away how we're going to do that, but you won't want to miss it. I want everybody to kind of, I want to be nostalgic a little bit to start the show, and then let's bring it back to 2020.
Way back machine was?
What do you mean?
It was from a cartoon.
Oh, Wayback Machine. I don't know. What was that from? It's just something I know to call it the Wayback Machine.
What was the Wayback Machine? It was a cartoon. Jeremy, do you remember? What was the cartoon? Wasn't Wayback Machine a cartoon from like
the 60s
or 70s?
Maybe.
Now you're
really dating yourself. I have no idea.
Set the Wayback Machine.
It's just something I call it. You know, like we're going to go in the Wayback
Machine. That's it. We're not closing the show.
The Wayback Machine.
The Mystery Machine was from Scooby-Doo.
No, it was Peabody. That's it.
There you go.
The Wayback Machine from the 1960s cartoon, Peabody. It was part of the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon show. Peabody was this brainy kid, and he had a talking dog, and they would set the Wayback Machine.
Well,
there you go.
Today, top of the Extra Point Show, we're gonna go inside the Wayback Machine, gonna get a little nostalgic, and then we're gonna bring it back forward to 2020. That's all I can tell you.
803-0550, dial up Sal, and he's with you for Football Monday as Bills Football Monday continues with the Extra Point Show. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Enjoy your day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.